realize you're not fighting with your kids, you're fighting for your kids. And then how do you do that? You start fighting in the spirit. And the number one way to do that is have a full on war in the spirit. And that is your prayer life.
Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, speaker, author, and yes, life coach. This is the place where you will get to anchor your identity in Jesus. Learn how to hear the voice of God and get aligned with His will for your life and get activated into your next bold step of faith. Let's get going. Oh my word. I am pretty speechless. I don't often remain speechless after an interview, but this powerful conversation with Lane Lawson-Craft is incredible. And she brings such wisdom, specifically in the area of battling for your kids in prayer. So if you are a mom or dad listening and you are raising kids, maybe there's teenagers, young adults who have walked away from the faith, who have walked away from the things that you hold dear as far as your morals and values and just a kingdom lifestyle, Lane has been there. She is a battle-tested mom. She has prayed in the spirit for her three grown children who are now all walking with the Lord. And I was just on the edge of my seat and so thankful for her wisdom in this area. So if you want to learn how to battle for your kids in the spirit and really plead the blood of Jesus over them so that they can come back and live in just a holy, redemptive, full life moment and life with your and their Savior, this episode is for you. Let's get into it. Hey, Lane, welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm so excited you are here, and I'm even more excited to introduce you to our listeners. And I'm just selfishly excited to get to know you because you are, I can tell, a firecracker with just the, in the best, a kingdom firecracker. Have you been described as that before?
Yes.
Yes. Is a kingdom firecracker. And I am excited because so Lane reached out to me after I had interviewed Pamela Henkelman on my podcast. And Pamela Henkelman is the host of a Midlife Mama podcast. And we were talking about embracing midlife motherhood. So if anybody wants to go back, that's episode 120. I looked that up real quick. And we were talking about empty nesting motherhood, the joys, the mess of it. And specifically, we were talking a bit about prodigals. And Lane immediately was like, hey, girl, I heard you all talking about prodigals and children, and have I got a story for you? So Lane, first of all, we just need to roll out the red carpet because literally right before we started recording, Miss Lane received the Golden Scroll Award. So congratulations. You're going to have to tell us more about that.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. And you are, this is how I want to phrase it. You are a battle-tested mom. Fair?
Fair.
Fair. Turned best-selling author and host of the Warfare Parenting Podcast. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I can see right behind her on that bookshelf, the Parents Battle Plan. So we are going to dive into how do we encourage our kids? How do we pray in the spirit for our kids? And I can't wait to dive into your testimony, Lane, specifically around motherhood, parenting, spiritual warfare. And as far as I know, you have walked three kids into adulthood. Yes?
Yes.
Maybe some of them prodigals in their own right. And you have the joy of seeing them come home. And now you equip parents to fight for their children and pray boldly. And you've been on Fox and CBN and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the media outlet places. And now you are here on Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. So welcome to the show.
What an honor. I just love you so much. And what a great way to communicate all of these messages about God and hearing Him and doing what we hear Him say. Yes.
Well, congrats on the Golden Scroll. Please tell us, what is that award and why did you win it?
So it's AWSA. It's an organization for authors, writers, speakers, faith-based, and amazing group of godly women that pen the word, that speak the word of God and encourage really nations. And they do awards. And I so excited. The Parents Battle Plan won the Nonfiction Book of the Year in 2023. And my new book, Warfare of Parenting, which is the daily 365-day devotion, also won an award. And it's just such an honor, really.
Okay. Wow. I am going to be learning from you. I'm going to grab you after we're done here and be like, girl, how'd you do that? I'm guessing part of your answer is going to be just the Lord, right? Following the Lord, writing what he asks you to write in the way that he asks you to write it. And he says, good job. Good job. Well done. Good and faithful servant. And now you get a golden scroll. So congratulations.
Well, I say it's really for the parents, really. It's for every parent out there that loves God, knows God, serves God. But their child, you know, is just in a place that, you know, they didn't dream or imagine. So they really won the award because they keep standing up and fighting in the gap.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we will definitely get to fighting in the gap for sure. I would love for you just to start us off with some context about you, Lane. Where are you from? How did you grow up? And how did the Christian faith, how did this vibrant relationship with Jesus, how did it come into your life? And how do you know that you're hearing God's word and following his voice? So just give us some backstory on your faith journey.
Wow, that was a lot. So yeah, I'll start. I'm from Mississippi.
Edit at will. Tell us whatever you want.
Well, yeah, I'm going to do it really in a short form because I really want to get to the meaty parts. But I am from Mississippi, born and raised, baby of five. I was raised to know Christ. It was a denomination that was pretty, I call religious, because it was pretty rule oriented. So for most of my life, until I was in my mid-30s, I did not really have an intimate relationship. I had religion, and I heard the word grace. And when I heard the word grace, I realized that Jesus Christ died for all of my sins, my sins that I had done in the past, my sins I was doing today, and that my sins that I would do till I died and went to heaven. So when I received that grace and I valued the cross above everything else, it's when my life changed. God began to move in mighty ways. Steve and I were college educated. We got out, we got married. We both were entrepreneurs. So we love to say that everything we have today, God gave us. We've never had anybody buy our health insurance or write us a salary check. Everything we've done was in partnership with God. So that's powerful. About 17 years in our marriage, we fell apart. We had a very dead marriage, and yet we made a decision that if we were going to start over, because we were in our 30s, if we were going to start over, why not start again with each other? So we grabbed each other's hands and fell to our knees. And that was the very beginning of that intimate relationship, not religion. We said, God, if you're the God that we read about in the Bible and we praise and we read and do the religious things, if you're that God, will you come in and save our marriage? And guess what, Megan? He did. He did. 17 years of a dead marriage was turned around. Of course, I love to say this. God immediately came in because we stood up and saw each other in very different eyes. Thank you, Lord. But we also went to counseling and we learned a new dance. 18 months. We went to counseling, and that was years ago, 20 plus years ago. And I love to say I'm in love with Steve more today than I ever dreamed I could be. So thank you, Lord. What we didn't know was that was going to be the beginning of the call of my life.
Okay.
God used me very similar to many people in the Bible, Jonah and the whale, many others. He began to use my story that God is still moving today, that he's still performing miracles, signs, and wonders. And it began with my marriage. Many more miracles followed. One was that he called me out of the secular world into starting a community of women, that it was testimony-based. And women would come in every week and share what God was doing in their lives. And then that grew into a national magazine in every bookstore in America and Canada. And that grew into a national talk show. But about that time, Megan, that I thought I was doing everything that God had DNA'd me to do and serving in a way I never thought I could, my three children were teenagers and they were sucked up into the world of darkness. Yeah. But all three of them today are whole, healed, and free. And we've seen so many signs of God. So Wherever you want to start, there's so many places, but we only have a little bit of time. So
I know. Well, amen to,
amen to the
redemption of your marriage. And I honestly, as you're saying that, I think that is the foundation and the anchor point for everything. I feel like it's almost like an hourglass. I have this vision of an hourglass where time is kind of coming through the hourglass, days of our lives style. And then there's that middle point. And is it going to get stuck or is it going to kind of flow through the hourglass into that bigger picture? And I feel like that moment where you two are kind of on your knees, literally and metaphorically, like, we're done, or God is going to do a radical thing. Let's go with God. God's going to do a radical thing. And he knit your marriage together. Your ministry started. And I'm so thankful for your vulnerability of, and life wasn't perfect. And we didn't raise these three kids that all of a sudden said, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And off they went. And so I do want to dive into those years and, you know, the battle plan. This is not sort of how I would do it. I mean, you are battle tested. So give us a little context to whatever degree you can about what was going inside your home. And I think that this conversation is really important in one sense, because so many of us and many listeners are Christian parents, loving the Lord, having walked through our own testimonies of faithfulness, of God's redemption. We want to hear God's voice. We are raising up our kids, quote, in the way they should go. And then there are these moments very often where we look at 1, 2, 3 kids and we're like, wait a minute, I thought I was doing everything right. And honestly, in my coaching, I have come up, I mean, I've had conversations with multiple mothers, and it boils down to this question of, what did I do wrong? I thought I was teaching them about the Lord. I thought they were growing up in a loving household. And yet here's ABC, drugs, addiction, alternative lifestyles, you name it. What went wrong? And so I would love you just to speak into that from your experience, giving hope and perspective to the mom and also glorifying God in that. I mean, this is your story. So help us kind of untangle some of those knots that we find ourselves in.
Well, sure. We call it mom guilt. Mm. You know, there's a lot of mom guilt and mom shame. Mm-hmm. There's something about, you know, here I was again with the magazine in every bookstore. Are you hearing me? Every bookstore in America had my magazine, and in Canada. And yet my three children were suffering. You know, one was flipping cars. One was getting arrested. My daughter was battling some very dark voices of depression. Mm-hmm. And so you can't just go out and talk about it because there's shame, right? There's something about if you love God and you're serving him, that you don't feel the liberty because you feel judged. You feel like they're thinking, wow, you mean your children are doing that? So I could speak a lot to that. What I would say right now, what was pivotal in my walk and in the battle was when I began to realize I was not in war with my children. I was in war with the enemy out to seek, kill, and destroy my children. Hmm. We live in a dark world, Megan. Our media is awful. It's dark. The internet is dark. Social media is dark. Our children are the first ones to really battle on such a level with the enemy. And parents, I want you to hear me. You listen, your child, it's just being sucked in and lured in by the evil, but you can stand in the gap. You can war and get the victory.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how. I mean, honestly, I love this, the parents' battle plan, because even as you're describing that, I imagine, especially if you've seen like Inside Out, either of those movies, the second one especially, there's this character called Anxiety. And she, the way that they portray her in the movie is she's kind of this whirlwind of like a magnetic force that's pulling in this main character, Joy, who can't get out of it. So as you're saying, our kids are being pulled in. It's almost like this hypnotic, magnetic force that's just They don't know what they don't know. Their brains are not developed. We hear that 10 times a Sunday about how their brains aren't developed till they're 25 years old. So they're walking in with these undeveloped brains and immaturity into this space. And we all go, oh no, we've lost them. Like somehow they've fallen through the looking glass or, you know, into this black hole. And yet what I hear you saying is yes. And there, you have hope. You can war. But it's not necessarily grabbing your kid by the actual arm and pulling them out and saying, what are you doing? And how could you do that? It's shifting the warfare to a spiritual level, a spiritual battle. So tell us more about what that looks like, what you learned, how that worked in your life and redemption of your children.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, when you realize they're under attack as a mother or father or grandparent, you begin to protect them differently. You aren't mad at them as much. You're like, oh my goodness, they're in war and they don't even know it. I began to up my war game in prayer. I will tell you right now, it is essential. It is the essential weapon. And I even added another dimension to my prayer life, and that was pleading the blood of Christ. You know, we don't talk about that enough anymore. We don't talk about the wonder working, marvelous power of the blood of Christ. And I just began to put a little paintbrush in the cross's blood, you know, just dip it. Mm-hmm. And I would do a cross on the back of each of my children at night and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus and the blood of Christ, please protect them. Because Megan, I needed God to protect them in this war. And then I said, Lord, you give them your wisdom. Because I knew if he would give them his wisdom, they would fear him. They would have discernment and turn back into the ways that I hoped and dreamed and their dad hoped and dreamed for. So first and foremost, realize you're not fighting with your kids. You're fighting for your kids. And then how do you do that? You start fighting in the spirit. And the number one way to do that is have a full on war in the spirit. And that is your prayer life.
Okay. So what did this look like for you? And what can you share about the testimonies of any kid? I mean, I know the details of their lives are theirs, but how can you walk us through what did that look like? What did it feel like in the darkest moments? You start praying and warring. And how did you see the spirit begin to work without you being hands on the wheel, so to speak, without you kind of manipulating their redemption? What was God doing? How did that look?
Well, I mean, all three of them had literal, intimate touches of God. So my daughter was the first at 18. She was at a Bible study with a friend. And they got in the friend's car and she started wailing and said, I've got to tell somebody. I keep hearing dark voices in my head telling me life would be better without me in it. Mm-hmm. She was just sobbing and that friend grabbed her hands and said, Kaylee, let's pray. And when they began to pray, Megan, Kaylee said there was a warmth like hot water from her head to her toes and her tears dried up and she knew it was God embracing her. And it was such a supernatural experience. It changed her forever and instantly. She never had that feeling again of life would be better without her. She was beautiful, Megan. She was an artist. She was fixing to go to college. And yet the enemy had come in there so cunningly, just like he did Adam and Eve. Hey, that apple, is that the one, you know, right? So that was powerful. Then my middle child, Lawson, he got caught up in these concerts where they do a lot of drugs and almost are like zombies. He got kind of into that with drugs and alcohol. And one 24-hour period, I say, and my husband will say, the onslaught of the demonic came after him. We counted about 10 ways he could have died in that 24 hours. And when he came to his senses, his dad was holding him at 20-something years old. And Lawson said, what in the world? He had a cut in his lip that required plastic surgery to tell you the degree of wounds he had. He had cuts on the bottom of his feet from jumping in the ocean with the oyster shells. I could go on and on. That's how much the enemy was after my son. And he looked at his dad and said, Dad, I'm never going to not remember 1 second of any day again. And guess what, Megan? He has changed forever. But it took 15 years for my eldest one. So I had to spend 15 years or more with these prayers. God, please protect Stephen. Please keep him alive till he's 25. I really was fearful that Stephen may not even stay alive in the natural. And he was high on cocaine one night and called an Uber driver to get to the next party, Megan. And the Uber driver picked him up, and it was a guy from another country, a pastor that was trying to raise money for his church for the summer. And he said, "Son, can I pray for you?" And Stephen said, "You know, Mom, I knew about prayer. And I knew I was high, but I said, sure, anyway, sure." And the man started praying. And Stephen said, "I knew immediately the presence of God had come in." He said, "I started wailing and crying. And the presence of God was so strong, Megan, it pushed him to the floorboard of this car." Mm-hmm. And he started saying, "Please quit praying. I'm suffocating." And he said it was God hugging him so tight. Mm-hmm. And it forever began his transformation of turning his life around. So I hope this brings hope to many people that God does leave the 99 for the one. And Megan, what I really want to say, you have reached it twice in this interview. Listen, Stephen didn't clean up. Stephen didn't say, "Oh God, I'm so sorry." Stephen was in the darkest pit of hell when God came down from his throne and embraced him. That forever changed him and transformed his life.
Yeah. Yeah, I love, well, first of all, the hope, and that you can be on the other side of this and say it is not all lost. The timing is the Lord's.
Yes.
Because it could be a day, it could be 15 years, it could be whatever, but at least a couple of them involve like physical prayer over their bodies. And so you are praying in the spirit as their mom.
Yes.
Lord, protect them by the blood of Christ. I think about the Circle Maker, that book, or things like where you're actually imagining the blood of Christ around their place where they live, around their homes, around the cars that they're getting in. I have a son who loves to go to those concerts, those multiple day concerts. And I'm always like, okay, Lord Jesus, like protect him. And I do pray that my kids would encounter dreams and visions if that's the way, like, really opening up the creativity. Not that the Lord needs my permission to be creative, but I'm like, I need to understand his creativity, because I think the number one thing that grips us as moms is a fear. And I think one of the things that moms often believe, and you can tell me if you experience this in any season, was I'm the one that raised them. And many times we've given birth to them, or if we didn't, if it was by adoption, there's still this connectivity of the mother as the guardian, as the guide. And so therefore, if they are off track in any way, then it must be my job to go get them, to help them course correct. And I think that's one of the things as moms, and especially in my own life, that I've had to continually release is, no, they are God's children before they're my children. And so how can I release this, I think, fear? And I'm curious if fear was taking over, and if you felt like maybe you misstepped in any way, maybe you started to meddle in ways that would not be helpful. Like, I'd be curious on the other side of that coin for those of us that are trying to, you know, I don't know, send Bible verses to our kids all the time, or, you know, like there's these interesting nuances to how we do this. Can you help us understand in any way, maybe some ways that were not so helpful that you were, your kids make it the other direction?
Yeah. There are a lot of places as I look back. Mm-hmm. Number one, I would say, you know, I meddled too much. You know, I would ask questions from their friends, like they were going to really tell me the truth, right?
Okay, meddling is a big one. Like, I the reason I'm stopping here is because I feel it myself, and technology has given us many ways to meddle. So our parents in the 80s and 90s, they could not be meddling because they did not even know where we were.
That's
now,
right.
We have these things called smartphones in which we can find where our kids are. We can see how they're spending money. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has convicted me of this, of like, Megan, you are looking too deep into what your kids are doing and meddling. So I want to stop there for a minute, because I do think that that's a warning to moms. Like, what is helpful guidance and what is just flat meddling? And the enemy that's just a counterfeit way of helping. It's not right. No. It's not good.
No. And it also gives a mom a false sense of security because they're never going to be ratted out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got this false, it's never going to be the real truth. Follow me. So, I have a whole chapter in the Parents Battle Plan about sleuthing and just watching of your children, helicopter mom, all of those things. Mm-hmm. Listen, I mean, you have got to let that go because it's only setting up a trap of failure. Mm-hmm. Another thing is enablement. So the aha moment for me was I, when I realized, Megan, I was giving them money to buy the alcohol. I was replacing that car they just flipped under the alcohol influence. Mm-hmm. So when I kind of put together, I'm not loving them well. I'm enabling them to stay in this journey of self-destructive choices. So it's a fine line. It absolutely is. But if you're enabling your child, you're not loving them. I love to say this. Think about this. Short-term pain for long-term peace. Mm-hmm. Short-term pain. If there's something your child's doing and you know that it's going to cause them trouble, take that leap. Mm-hmm. Get courageous. Go through that short-term pain of hearing, "You don't understand. Mom, I hate you. This is terrible." Well, that's your sign you're on the right path, mom or dad, because, you know, who changes, Megan, come on, who changes without some kind of painful consequence? Nobody. Right. You don't change if you're eating bonbons and things are going well. You change when life quits working for you.
Yeah. And I think culturally speaking, and I'm curious if you've seen this change over the decades, but I feel like more and more parents really want to be friends with their kids to the degree. Yes, we want to have a friendly relationship with our kids, but I mean it in the sense of I don't want my kid to be mad at me. And I think the enablement comes from this the fear that the relationship will break and we will lose connection with the kids. And I feel like that's another interesting kind of discernment dynamic. Yeah. And you know, my counselor recently told me we were kind of going after something with one of our kids. And she said, you know, now in their 20s, you're parenting the heart and not the head. So from 0 to 18, kind of when they're under their roof, you do have more power and control, so to speak. Hopefully it's used well, but I mean, you have more guardrails and guidelines and you can kind of parent the head and reason and logic, and this is the consequence. But then once they're out from under your roof, how do you parent the heart? So I'm curious for you, as you're praying in the spirit for radical transformation and salvation for your kids, how are you continuing to stay in connection with them? That is not meddling. It's not enabling, but it is loving.
Again, that's like. So that's another fine line, you know, a very fine line, because we're to love the sinner, but not the sin. And that goes with our children. I mean, you know, you clearly have to say, "I love you, Stephen, but I cannot love these decisions you're making." I always say, keep the door open. When our children need the most love is when they're the most unlovable. Listen to that. When your child needs the most love, it's when they're the most unlovable and it's the hardest. But the scriptures talk about that. It says, what good is it to love somebody that loves you back? The true test of love is loving someone when they don't deserve it, when they didn't earn it. Unconditional love is the only way to bring anyone through the kindness of Christ comes repentance.
Yeah. And unconditional love is one of those kingdom topics, kingdom focus that I think it would really benefit us to sit on, because the world really just twists this up and makes you think, and kids, they are very crafty and they're very smart and they maybe not meaning to, but they can be very manipulative, to your point of, if you really loved me, if you really understood me, you would let me do this. I need your support. And it's interesting. I've experienced it this summer with one of my kids. I've talked to a really good friend who's experiencing right now with one of hers. It's like, everybody thinks this is a great idea, except you. You're the bad guy. You don't understand. You're not a good parent. And I feel like even as I'm saying that, that is Satan's number one tactic of manipulation to parents. And then parents, we begin to believe the lie of maybe I am a bad parent. Maybe I need to do this. So I would love for you to fortify us with some truth for parents about just our role and some of the lies that maybe the enemy even tried to weave into your mind that you needed to shed and be like, "Ooh, that is not true."
Right. Well, I want to go back to what you said. I address it in the Parents Battle Plan. You cannot be your child's best friend and be an effective parent, mm-hmm. period. Meaning you cannot be their best friend and share all this stuff and effectively discipline them, effectively lead mm-hmm. them. So I say, I want you to be close to your child. That's not what I'm saying, but you can't be their best friend and be an effective parent. Period. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing you've got to take away, even though it's countercultural because, mm-hmm. Her mom and her are best friends, mama. You know, no, you know what? That's great. I will have to say again, when you look at this through the lens of the scripture, Christ said, they hated me. They're going to hate you too. Listen, mm-hmm. everything that we want as a Christian parent for our children is counterintuitive and countercultural. And so it's going to be a battle for us too, to stand strong and hold on to our beliefs. Listen, don't ever compromise. I think there's a big movement for good Christian parents to compromise on what the Word of God says. We can't do it. We cannot do it. It's just not going to work in the end. It's not going to bring our children back to the path that we wanted them to come and lead them in the way they should go if we start condoning and compromising.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think one of the biggest lies that we might believe or that culture tries to tell us is, well, the times are changing. You know, scripture is antiquated. Your way of thinking, mom and dad, is antiquated. That's a different generation. We're a new generation. And while sometimes I think we do need to grow and expand our vision toward different ways of expressing or traditions, that the truth of scripture and the truth of God's word doesn't ever change, but we have a lot of influences trying to get us to think it might be changing. We don't really need to hold on to that.
Right. Well, it says, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, a God that doesn't change, mm-hmm. nor does his word. So again, I love to say this, if you are questioning something on any principle, I say get a flashlight and go to the Word of God and mm-hmm. say, you know, what does the Word of God say about it? You will never leave the Word of God without an answer. And that's the truth. That's the only truth our world will ever know is what's in that Bible. Mm-hmm. That is the Word of God, the breath of God. And it is the only way to stand. And if we compromise there, listen, I will say, when you said that, my kids used to say, "Mom, but everybody else is doing it." I don't know if your kids said that.
You know, yeah. Everybody else is doing it at
concerts. You know, everybody else is drinking at 18 or whatever they would say. But listen, again, if we're called and set apart, you say to them, "Well, that's great, but we aren't supposed to be like everybody else. We're supposed mm-hmm. to look different from the world." And those are just principles that we must as parents stand to, because if we fold into that, wow, where mm-hmm. is their safety net if mm-hmm. we start compromising?
And what if, you know, your child says, "That's great for you. Those are your morals and values. Those are your faith beliefs. They are not mine. I am going to go do what I'm going to do."
You say, "I love you. Mm-hmm. I love you. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm here for you." That's what you do. And I heard somebody say the other day, it was very, very, very poignant. She said, "My kid knows how I feel about that." It was a serious life issue. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. know how I feel about it. I don't have to talk about it ever again. They know how I feel about that. That's almost like a nagging or a badgering. We don't want to badger or provoke our children. We want to constantly love them like Christ loves the church. Constantly love them even in their sinful nature mm-hmm. as Christ loves us. But we always have got to say, if they asked us, is this, do you agree? You'd have to say, no, it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's, I can't agree with this. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, we don't have enough of this voice, right, Megan, of helping parents stand mm-hmm. strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is hard because we don't have a lot of parents locking arms with us, agreeing to this very mm-hmm. strong mindset of staying scripturally sound as we raise these children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So speak to the mom right now who's listening and is in a dark spot with maybe a teenager or a young adult kid. Where does she start? What do her prayers look like? Obviously, she can get your Warfare Parenting and the Battle Plan. Those are great resources to have, you know, on her bedside table. But what can she walk away with even today going, okay, I am equipped with hope and I'm armed with some spiritual tools.
Well, I've been there. I just want you to know. I was so desperate mm-hmm. for a while. I didn't even know what to pray or what to say to God. Mm-hmm. I was so desperate for him to not only touch my child, but to give me the power to stand in the gap again. Mm-hmm. I would begin to say, run to God. I think a lot of times when life layers on us and our child continues to make the same self-destructive choices or lifestyle choices, we get pretty disappointed and mm-hmm. pretty disconnected from God because I think we lose mm-hmm. hope. So the first thing I'd say is run to God. That's Warfare Parenting. I made it to where you can do it so quickly. Sometimes you don't know what to say. This will give you the tools for 365 days of the year. You can open it up. You'll get a scripture that's very, very
targeted scriptures.
Yes, mm-hmm. for that battle, and then a devotion mm-hmm. and a prayer. Mm-hmm. And then I would just say, this is when you truly surrender. Listen, that child was God's masterpiece. God hand knit our children, mm-hmm. and he has a purpose and a plan. So when they get 16, 17, 50. I've got a lot of people with 50-year-olds still in a prodigal lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We have to hand them over to God and on the altar and say, they are yours first. You love them greater than I can dream or imagine. And you love me too. And I'm just going to stand here in the gap and believe that you're going to do it. And I would say the third thing, no child is too far gone for God. Mm-hmm. No child, none of us are too far gone for God to come in and turn their lives around. We have until our last breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And I love that for sure. And I'm thinking for the mom specifically, because isn't the first rule of life saving, like, you know, if put on your own oxygen mask before you put on someone else's. And I think a lot of what the enemy likes to do is our kids are going down and we're going down with them. And so really fortifying moms to go back to the Word of God and say, God, what do you say about me and who I am as your daughter and who I am as a mom? And if the Holy Spirit convicts you that there's some things that might need to shift in your own thinking, or maybe he says, you know what, it is time to apologize to this kid for treating him that way. Like, we got to do our own business with,
that's right,
with people. And that's then right. Once we kind of align ourselves, we kind of write ourselves back and really walk in reconciliation, at least to the best of our ability, in peacemaking to the best of our ability through the power of Christ, exactly what you said. Then we release them praying. Man, my journals are full of my kids, their names. And specifically, I love that you were talking about targeted prayers, because it's one thing to say, be with them, protect them. But I'm curious, kind of theologically speaking, and what you've written about, how are targeted prayers different? Like, in when we're praying in spiritual warfare, going after certain entities,
you start getting serious. You start saying, take the taste of alcohol from their mouth.
Yeah,
you say, disconnect them from these negative influences, these mm-hmm. friends. Father God, just you find a way to separate them from this horrible influence. Mm-hmm. You know, Father, you know the best way to touch them. That's going to be so powerful. You know, in the Old Testament, he turned his hand and turned the heart of the king instantly. He can do that for our children. I mean, I would get specific, and I would also pray the scriptures. Father God, you said no weapon formed against Stephen shall prosper. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking right now, Lord, make that happen, that no weapon formed against him will land him in jail forever, or that he doesn't get another DUI, or that he doesn't wreck the car and kill somebody else and end up with vehicular manslaughter. I mean, these are the things I was looking at, Megan. These were serious life-costing decisions my children were in. I had to war.
Well, you're like a Deborah for sure. Just armed up, ready to go. Maybe JL more like that cunning, right? Ready to just like slay the enemy. And so I'm thankful for your testimony. You know, I'm sorry that you had to go through all that. And yet God said, don't you worry, Lane. There's redemption here. There's hope here. And this is probably even a stronger testimony that you have on the other side of being on all the billboards and things like that. Now it's just richer. It's deeper. It's different. It's real. And it's all to God's glory. So,
amen. And they're all three great. I always love to share that. You know, Stephen owns his own insurance brokerage. They have one little girl. I saw her this morning. We splashed in puddles, and they got another baby on the way. And then Kaylee is a mother of a little boy, and she's having another one. And then Lawson is still looking for his wife, and he owns his own company. So they're all doing fantastic. God brought them out, delivered them, set them free. They're whole. And now they help others, Megan. Now, you know, Lawson will see somebody on the side of the street and he'll just stop and pray with them. It's so powerful. And now I'm equipped as a grandmother. Now I'm already warring for Elle. I'm already warring for Warner and saying, God, put a hedge of protection. Don't let the darkness keep them protecting from the, you know, for the bad people that would hurt them. And it continues. And it continues.
It continues. And I can't help but remember and be so thankful for the best friend and the Uber driver that prayed for your children. And I'm thinking to anybody listening, like, pay attention to the Holy Spirit, because you might be the person that's saying, hey, I don't know you from Adam, or maybe you're my best friend or neighbor. It's time to pray. May we be fortified to pray. As the mom, maybe your kids don't want you next. We kind of have to pray almost in secret, right? You're like, oh, if you would only read my journal, you would know how much I'm praying for you. But there might be other people that you're the person that's like, this is the time. Now is the time. And not to be afraid to pray, or is it weird, or is it, you know, that Uber driver? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, just remind yourself we're at war. When you look at yourself as a warrior mom, a warrior grandmom, a warrior for your neighbor, a warrior for your nephew, we are warriors, and we have got to war in the spirit and believe that God is hearing our prayers and he will make them turn around and come back to the way we hoped and dreamed.
Amen. And declaring that over your kids, God does have a plan for you. You are meant for good and not for evil. Like all the things we declare in the spirit over their lives too. So that's so beautiful and really powerful. So I would encourage anybody to go grab those resources of Lane's. And before we close up, I would love to know, just Lane today, what are you dealing with in the spirit maybe? Or what are you asking God for discernment? How are you asking him to speak into your life? What's the next path or iteration of where he's taking you?
Well, it's a great day to ask me that, Megan. I just got back from ASA and I had a beautiful prayer spoken over me, and it was so beautiful. I came back changed in the fact that I personally have let a lot of busyness come in, and it's all been kingdom, you know, doing social media for good the books and doing all kinds of speaking and doing all of that. But I clearly heard the Lord, be more in my presence, Lane. So right now, I heard the Lord clearly in my heart that I am putting more of him in my day than I have been. And you know, once you, it's kind of like water. They say if you'll drink water the first thing in the morning, you'll crave it all day. I'm really digging deep with God right now. And for my next step, I have a new book coming out in the spring. It's a children's book, and it's The Beginning of You, Megan. It talks about how God knew you before your mother even knew you. It's incredible. Don't know what God's going to do with all of it. Kriegel Publishing is releasing it in the spring. But what I'm saying to you, God is constantly stretching us, and he's constantly wanting to tell us more, show us more. But what we've got to do is be available and quiet and still. So that's what I'm into right now. If you want to hear from God, I'm here to tell you, no matter how seasoned you are, no matter how many awards you've gotten or how many things you've done for the kingdom, if you are not constantly asking God, what do I need to hear from you? What is it you need me to do? If you're not listening to those answers, I encourage you today to just get still, get quiet, and try to do it more and more. And I know if I'm any example, and it hadn't been too many days, I yearn for that presence. I yearn for just being with him and knowing I've closed out the world, God. I've turned down the voices in my head, and I'm listening clearly for you.
Amen. Amen. Well, I can't wait to see the next products, the next books that you have coming along. And so thank you for sharing your testimony today. And would you do us the honor of praying to close this up, and Absolutely. Specifically for those parents out there that are listening and really praying for their kids? I'd love for you to Yes. close us in prayer, if you would.
Sure. Father God, I thank you first and foremost, Lord. Thank you for your son, Jesus, because without him, none of us would be here. Father, we thank you for the blood of the cross. We thank you that he covers all of our sins. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus just to bless Megan and everything that she does. Let her reach the nations, bringing more hope and just tips and tools and applications on being closer to you and hearing you clearer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I open up the windows of heaven and I ask that you pour down protection and wisdom to every prodigal that is out there, Lord. Lord, your heart is for us all to turn. There is such a celebration when only one come back to you. So Lord, we are in the name of Jesus, just we are declaring, we are agreeing, decreeing right here, right now, that you are bringing prodigals and wayward children home, Father. You hear our cries. You hear our prayers. And Lord, we are believing you will deliver. So Father, we thank you in advance. We thank you that Megan's going to get testimonies after this of more and more of children all of a sudden agreeing with mom, or all of a sudden deciding, you know, this is better. What mama said 6 months ago is better. Or Father, I just hear and I know that maybe some children have been just estranged, period, from their parent. And Lord, I'm asking for reconciliation and restoration in the name of Jesus and the blood of Christ for all of these families. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you and we believe it. In Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Oh, thanks for fortifying us today. Thank you so much, and congratulations on your golden scroll.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode. You might be wondering, well, now what? Let me offer a few suggestions. Number one, who were you thinking about while you were listening to this episode? If someone crossed your mind because you think this would inspire, challenge, or encourage them, share it right now. Number two, if you think it's worth other people's time to find and listen to this show, please head to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, rate us and leave a review. It will help people around the world know if it's worth their time to come hang out with us. And number three, if you are ready to get aligned with the voice of God, anchored in your identity in Christ, and activated in your next bold step of faith, head to my website, meganbnilsen.com. You can read about my books, see any courses I'm offering, and most importantly, schedule your free 30-minute curiosity and connection call today. Let's keep this conversation going. Hey everyone, I have a question for you. Does your mind ever feel like a tangled hot mess of what ifs and endless overthinking? You are definitely not alone. That's exactly why I wrote Untangled Faith, How Honest Conversations with God Lead to Deeper Connections, Clarity, and Peace. This book is designed to help you learn how to hear God's voice, because does God speak to his people? If he does speak to his people, what does his voice sound like? And how do you know if what you're hearing when you journal or pray is God's voice or your voice? This book will give you practical tools and guided journaling prompts to help you find peace and direction so that you can hear his voice. Grab your copy of Untangled Faith, along with the companion journal, of course, at Amazon today. It is time to stop overthinking and start trusting that you can hear God's voice and live with spirit-led confidence. Get your copy of Untangled Faith at Amazon today.